And if you've got a Bible, it's 2 Corinthians 5, verses 8 to 21. And if you've got a pen, if you haven't got a Bible, you've got a pen, write that scripture down. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 21. And this all came from my Bible, although I use the iPad because it's a lot more efficient for me these days. But I always carry my Bible to the platform. So it begins. All these things from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. And that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he was committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making an appeal through us. Have you got that? As though God was making an appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin. He had no sin, and he made him to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So Christ was holy. He was totally a sinless man. And he took my sin into his own body. He saved me by a supreme sacrifice of his life. The Father sent his Son for me. Just want you to focus on that as we begin for the word I believe God's asked me to share with you this morning as a church. The price has already been paid for you. We're taking an offering this morning. But the offering for our sin was Jesus Christ. He came to set us free. Why? No other reason. He loved us. He wanted us to be in relationship with him. Jesus, through Jesus to Peter. Through Jesus to Edmund. To each one of you. To Anne-Marie. To Mick. To Graham. I don't know all your names. To Peter. To Eve. A personal relationship with each one of us. Why? Because he loves us. He's our Father. I want to begin by speaking the key points in Jesus' ministry. Christ emphasizes equality with God in the clearest possible way, strongly affirming his deity. Employed the name of Jesus when the Father first revealed himself to Moses as I am. And that comes from Exodus 3:14. We see in John's Gospel that Jesus has already said, I am the light of the world. It says that in John 8:12. I am the bread of life, he says. He says that in John 6:35. I am the way, he says, in John 14:6. I am the door. He says that in John 10:9. And the next. I am the vine. And this was the night before his death. All these things pointing to his deity. Each one of these is a metaphor that elevates Jesus to the level of creator, savior, redeemer, Lord of all. That can only be claimed by the sovereign God. I want us to look at the vine and the branches. Okay, it says Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. What kind of plant are you? A cactus? Are you prickly? Are you poison ivy? Causing problems wherever you go. Are you an oak? Deeply rooted and strong and stable. Oh, now the BT's turned up now. Are you looking pretty? Are you aloe vera? Gentle and caring. Are you wilted? Lifeless and dead. Are you fruitful? Doing the kingdom's work continually. What kind of plant are you? So you can see that was very good. So when the enemy comes in and tries to do things like that, you have to laugh at him. Because he's got no power. Jesus has got all power. So we just carry on. So, you know where I'm going now. John 15, verses 1 to 8. And it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Each branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that they may bear more fruit. Are you already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you? Abide in me, and I in you. So neither can you unless you abide in me, and I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he has thrown away his branches and dries up, and gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If you abide in me and in my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. My Father glorified by this, and that you bear much fruit, and prove you are my disciples. Indeed, that came from John 15:1-8. Can I just ask a question here this morning? Are any of you here for the first time? No, you've all been here before. That's good. Can I ask you a question? A few questions first. When's the last time you invited somebody here into the church? Okay. Just little thoughts for you. So next week, when we go out on the street, we can have an opportunity to share the love of Jesus. We're going to have the opportunity to say, I've got a lovely church I go to up the road. There's a few seats for you. Why don't you come along? We'll have a cup of coffee together. We'll have a chat. Good. I'm pleased to hear it. So the metaphor in John 15 of the vine and the branches. The vine is the source and substance of life for the branches. And the branches must abide in the vine to live and bear fruit. Jesus, of course, is the vine, and the branches are the people. While it is obvious that fruit-bearing branches represent true Christians, the identity of the fruitless ones is in question. Some Bible students say, the barren branches are Christians who bear no spiritual fruit. Others believe and they are non-Christians. As always, we must look at the context before we look at the answer. The true metaphor is made clear when we consider the characters in that night's drama. The disciples with Jesus, he had loved them to the uttermost, and he had comforted them. And the words of John's chapter 14, the Father was foremost in his thoughts because he was thinking of the events of the next day, but he also of someone else. The betrayer Judas had been dismissed from the fellowship and he was rejected. Jesus' final love appeal. All the characters in the drama were in the mind of Jesus. He saw the 11 and he loved them deeply and compassionately. He was aware of the Father in whom he had shared the infinite love. He made and grieved over Judas, who he had loved unconditionally. You see, Jesus loves unconditionally. When he reaches those people, there's not anything conditional about him. He loves each one of us while we were sinners. He came. Why did Jesus come? He says in Luke, he came to seek and save the lost. That's why he came. Didn't come for us a lot in here that really know him. He came for those lost souls. But we're his disciples. We're his ambassadors. I'm sowing seeds here. Because you have the source of his love living inside you, in his Holy Spirit. Jesus had long been aware of the difference between Judas and the 11. After the washing of the disciples' feet, he said, "He who has bathed needs only to be washed. Wash his feet." Is it working now? Huh? Okay. Don't worry. So we're washing his feet at the moment, sorry. "For he knew the one who was betraying him, and for the reason he said, 'Not all of us are clean. One person is forgiven by God. He is clean but does not need bathing for the forgiveness of his sin. All that is necessary is to clean the dust and dirt of our sins from our feet.'" Some would say he's lost his salvation, according to them. The same can happen to any believer who does not bear fruit. But Jesus made the promise to his children, "I give you eternal life," to them, "and they shall not perish. And no one snatched them out of my hand," it says in John 10:28. He guaranteed the security of the child of God. "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out," he says in John 6:37. A true believer cannot lose his salvation and be condemned to hell. A branch that is truly connected to the vine is secure and will never be removed. But one only appears to be connected, only that it is superficial in its connection will be removed. Shall I read that bit again? One who is only superficially connected will be removed. If he does not have the life of the vine flowing through it, it will bear no fruit. Those are Judas's branches. There are people like Judas who appear by human perception to be united with Christ. But they're apostates doomed to hell. They may attend church, know the right answers, go through religious motions, but God will remove them and they will be burned. Others, like the 11, are generally connected to the vine and bear fruit. Christ is the true vine. Jesus was not introducing a new idea using this metaphor of the vine and the branches. In the Old Testament, God's vine was Israel. He used them to accomplish his purpose in the world. He blessed them. He connected them. He connected with them. He was the vine dresser. He cared for the vine, trimmed and cut off the branches that did not bear fruit. But God's vine denigrated and bore no fruit. The vine dresser grieved over the tragedy of Israel's fruitlessness. God had done everything he could to make Israel bear fruit, yet no bore fruit, none. So he took away its wall and left him unprotected. It was trampled down by foreign nations, laid waste. Israel was no longer God's vine. It had forfeited its privilege. Now there was a new vine. There was a new vine. No longer does the blessing come through the covenantal relationship with Israel. Fruit and blessing comes from the connection with Jesus Christ. Can I just repeat that? Fruit and blessing comes through the connection through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the true vine in Scripture. The word true is often described what is eternal, heavenly, divine. Israel was imperfect, but Christ is perfect. Israel was a type, but Christ is reality. You know, I went away to on this mission for 3.5 weeks to Cambodia and Malaysia, and I travelled on my own. I wasn't working on my own. When I got there, I worked with a Malaysian who had invited me to go there. But I needed to get my spirit fired up, and I needed to put myself in the right place. So I went to a man of God who I know very well, and I travelled to a place called Sabah, which is in Borneo, and he preached a lovely message, and it really fired up my spirit. And this is not what the whole message was about, but he said a sentence that spoke to me, and it's kind of why I'm preaching this message this morning. It's really got inside my spirit so much that I feel to share it. And in amongst this whole message that he was giving, he said these words: we in church, we often make a decision. Say that again. We often make a decision. I'll do that. Yes, I will. But that decision is not conviction. And I thought, yeah. And I'd made a decision to go to Cambodia and Malaysia. And I really felt convicted to work with these Oranastis people that in the jungle. Total conviction. And that conviction is stronger than ever. I went back to this jungle where God really set me out as a missionary back in 2008. I've been an evangelist virtually since God met me. But really, I guess I became a missionary in 2008, and I started to see God move, Holy Spirit move through me. First started with Leb, who the little girl in the jungle had the skin disease, and we see God heal her. And I've been back, this is my third trip back, and I really feel convicted to keep going back now. I'd left a gap there, and I really feel convicted to keep going back. And when I went back the second time, there were 12 or 13 men that came to Christ. And the first man that came to when I got out of the four-wheel drive was one of these men. And I was hoping to show you his face, big, craggy, old-faced man from the jungle. And he came, and he wrapped his arms around me. He was so pleased to see me, and I was so pleased to see him. And I felt that conviction of God to be amongst those people again. Really felt that conviction. You know, when you see God change a man's life, you're convicted to be God's ambassador, to be God's servant. You want to be that fruitful person on that vine. You want to see lives transformed. And then I was really excited. I wanted to see Leb. I wanted to see this little girl. And she was in a Sunday school. 4 years down the road, there's a Sunday school going on from this little girl's miracle. You see, God had used that miracle not for anything to lift me up. He'd used that miracle for a tribe to bring him to Christ. 150 of them, and now they're Christians. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! And these men that ran away from me the first time because I was white, they were scared of me, they embraced me this time. Oh, Father, what it is to be his ambassador. What a privilege. What a privilege to bear fruit. And you know, I saw Leb. She is now 7. She's the most shy little thing. She wouldn't let me take her picture. Eventually I did get one. And she's got the most beautiful skin you could ever see. Beautiful child. Absolutely beautiful. And as I was leaving Bobby, my host, he said, Peter, I'm going to see you in 2015, aren't I? And I'm convicted to go back. And like you, brother, I don't know how I'm going to get the money yet. But God will provide it. He'll provide for me. So all power to what you're doing. All power. In 2008, I gave up my job. God has provided for me ever since. And he will. Because why? He's faithful. And you'll bear much fruit. This year, I've never seen God move so much in my ministry. Signs and wonders, salvation. And you sent me from this church. You prayed for me. And prayer is so important. Pete, Anne-Marie, Mick, John. We meet on a Monday night, every fortnight. Why? For outreach. For lost souls. Church is not about in here, it's outside these walls. There's a hurting world out there. God can use any one of you. If this thing had to work, I was going to show you some amazing miracles. Amazing miracles. Deaf ears, people. And one woman in the middle of the crusade. At the end, it was pitch black. There were around about 200 people came to Christ this day. Miracle after miracle. Endless miracles where God was touching people. And right at the very end, this woman came and she was shouting in my face. And I wonder what it was wrong, because I prayed for her and she was moaning and hollering when I was praying for her. She was in pain. It wasn't complaining. She wanted to tell me how God had healed her. And the more I watch it now, the more I see that that's what her intention was. But at the time, I was sort of taken back by it. She came at me quite straightforward. And so, just want to encourage you. I was going to try and show you that in a video, but it was just amazing. And things that were happening I'd never seen before. I was in a big Anglican church and I prayed for these people and lots of people came to Christ. Lots of people there. In two churches, the pastors both told me they were Christians. But they, after they heard the message, they rededicated their life. They realized that they needed to step out and move and be fruitful vine. And they will bear much fruit. Because this Blair, when you see somebody saved, you see somebody healed, it brings joy to your heart. As Edmund says, you want to dance. You want to jump. You want to jump. You don't care what you look like, because you're happy. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And as usual, the Holy Spirit has taken me way off of where I was going, but never mind. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Jesus said his followers are like mature branches, that they bore fruit and they needed pruning. There is no such thing as a fruitless Christian. Every Christian bears some fruit. You may have to look hard to find even a small grape, but if you look enough, you will find something. I'll say that again. Do you mind? Jesus said his followers were like mature branches that bore fruit, but needed pruning. There is no such thing as a fruitless Christian. Every Christian bears some fruit. You may have to look hard to find a small grape, but if you look enough, you will find something. It is the essence of Christian life to bear fruit. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. The fruit of salvation is good works." James 2:17 explains the close relationship between faith and works. Hey, Edmund, what you spoke about, brother. It explains the close relationship between faith and works. So even so, faith, if it is and has no works, is dead, being by itself. If saving faith is legitimate, it produces fruit. That does not mean a person is saved by works, but works are evidence that faith is genuine. Jesus said a genuine believer can be tested by his fruit in Matthew 7:16-17. He said, "You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs, nor thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears fruit." Jesus' illustration would not make no sense if every Christian did not bear fruit, at least some fruit. Some only appear to be part of God's people. Luke 8:18 says, "So take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him shall be more given. And whoever does not have, even when he thinks he has, shall it be taken away." Those who only appear to belong will be removed from God's people. Clearly, some who appear to be in Christ do not truly abide in him. As 1 John 2:19 says, "They went out from us because they were not really of us." For they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they were not. So it would be shown that they are not of us. If you are religious and you need to be sure of your connection to Christ is genuine, the Apostle Paul says, test yourself. See if you are in the faith. Examine yourself. Or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail the test. 2 Corinthians 3:5. You know, fruitful branches are pruned. Although the fruitless branches are removed from the vine and burnt, the Father tenderly cares for the fruit-bearing branches. In verse 2, Jesus told his disciples, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, so they may bear more fruit." All fruit-bearing branches are included. The vine dresser prunes the branches so they will bear much fruit. So sometimes we need a little pruning. In our thoughts, maybe. Our ways. And if we prune and we take it the right direction, we're going to benefit. We're going to bear much fruit. Sometimes we need to change our ways to bear much fruit. The pruning process helps us bear more fruit. If there is no fruit in your life, if there is no genuine connection with Jesus Christ, you're in danger of being removed and cast into the fire of hell. If there is fruit in your life, you can rejoice that the affliction of making the pruning of the knife more effective. And the vine dresser's ultimate goal is that you bear much more fruit. Sometimes I've found that I need to change to bear more fruit. Sometimes I have to look at different ways that I should be doing things. One of the things that I think that I've changed in the latter few years, because I'm in a different ministry now than I was, is that I pray. I pray so much more. And that praying helps me bear more fruit. I seek God's face in everything I do. I won't go on a mission unless I believe God is showing me where to go. So that's kind of how I've been pruned. I don't do anything in my own strength. I ask God. You know, when I'm out in that street, somebody's walking up and says, "Father, how do I speak to this person? What should I do?" I don't do anything. I do it in Father's strength. So I needed pruning. I needed some pruning from where I was. So there are things in all our lives that we need maybe to prune. And don't think I'm being judgmental. I'm just sowing out to you this morning. I'd like to read on, because when I was planning this sermon, I've cut a lot out, and God's Holy Spirit is taking me in a different direction. But God asked me to speak the whole word of John's Gospel, of 15. So I'm reading now from 15:9 to 17. "As the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and my joy may make you complete. My commandment is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay his life down for one's friends. You are my friends, and if you do what I command, I can no longer call you servants, because the servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learnt from the Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, so that you might go and bear fruit, and the fruit will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is the commandment, that you love one another." You see what I just said to you? I ask God in his name to show me how to reach people. Not in my strength, in his strength. And each one of us. Because I'm going to come to the next verse now, and this is what the enemy does to all of us. This is why there are not more evangelists out there. We read on. John 15:8-27. And it goes on, it says, "The world hates the disciples. If the world hates you, keep it in mind that he hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. And it is you that do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world, and that is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you: a servant is not greater than the master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name. For they do not know, and the one who sent you, if I am not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse of their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done these things among the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is seen, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and the Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in the law: they hated me without a reason." You see, many of us don't want to go out there and share the gospel. Many of us don't want to share with that work friend because they think that the people are going to reject them and mock them. Well, to be honest with me, if somebody mocks and does things like that to me, I think, hallelujah, praise God. Because if I'm upsetting them, I'm doing the will of the Father, because they persecuted him. And I want to be more like Jesus every day. If I had a thing in my life as a goal that I wanted to be, I want to be more like Jesus. I've got a long way to go. A long, long, long way to go. I want to have his compassion. I want to have his passion for people. All those things. I want to be more patient. I want to be gentler. I want to be more like Jesus. So if you feel that you're persecuted by, you know, you might be in a ladies' coffee club and they're not all Christians, and you think, oh, I'm not going to say anything to her, she might say something not quite right about me, and or I'm at work today and I'm not going to say this because she's going to have a pop at me, and you know. But that's what they did to Jesus, and we've got to be bold witnesses. And you know what? We're not on our own, because the Holy Spirit is with us. And the final verses here, it speaks about the work of the Holy Spirit. When the Advocate comes, whom will I send? When the Advocate comes, who will I send? To you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father. He will testify about me. And you must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Today I'm here as God's ambassador. That's how I started. I'm here to pray with you. I'm here to encourage you. All that I spoke about the vine was to encourage you, not to condemn you. God forbid. And when I spoke about examine yourself, we all need to examine ourselves, not to condemn. Absolutely not. I'm here to encourage you. If you've never really asked Jesus into your life, you've never really had that encounter with God, I'm here to pray with you. I'm here to give you that opportunity. Maybe you've backslid in some way. Maybe that pruning needs to be with you. You've needed to be pruned so that a new life is going to burst through you. It's going to be such a change in you, such a confidence that Jesus lives in me. The Spirit of God is in me. Is the Holy Spirit challenging you today? I know he's here. On Friday, this wasn't the message I was speaking. Edmund rang, hello brother, how are you? I said, I'm writing my sermon. I'll be there on Sunday. I'm looking forward to it. But then the Holy Spirit came along and he said, Peter, you can preach the front end of it, but you need to preach the whole of chapter 15. So I know the Holy Spirit's here. I know he's speaking through my voice. Do you need to be pruned today? Do you need that new life to burst through you? Is the Holy Spirit challenging you? You know, I said to these people in Malaysia, in this big Anglican church, lovely vicar there, 200 people, and I said to him, I always preach the salvation message, even if I'm in a church full of Christians. I will never not do it, because that's my call. He said, Peter, you're going to find some that will come forward this morning. He said, you sure, Frank? Yes. And I challenged them, because they'd had two air crashes in Malaysia where 300 people had died and 200 people had died. And I said, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? Do you know where you would go? Would you go to heaven? Or would you go to hell? Big question. And there was a good number of people received Jesus. Wonderful. Wonderful. So if this is you today and you need a healing touch from God, He's here. He will touch you, body, soul, and spirit. Just take a moment and think. There's a hurting world outside this door. Can you be an ambassador next week in this church of Jesus? You know, I was going to play a video clip here this morning with a song. And the song said, "You are the only Jesus some will ever see." And that changed my life back in 1999. I heard that song. And I felt really... I didn't just make a decision, I made a conviction to go out and share that gospel message whoever I met. So I'd just like you right now to just bow your head. I'm going to give you all this opportunity. And I'm not going to ask you to all come rushing up the front. But you can make a decision right where you are, right now. I don't want anybody else looking around. I just want you to repeat this prayer. Okay, and if it's you, let's slip your hand up when we pray it. Okay? And I'll acknowledge you. And God will acknowledge you, because His Spirit is here. But let's not make anybody feel conspicuous. Let's just say all together as a church, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for taking my sin into your own body. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for loving me. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your precious Son for me. Thank you for the pain and suffering that you took for me, the blood you shed on Calvary for my sin, to cover me from all sin. By those stripes, you took punishment for me that I might be healed. Father God, just thank you. Thank you for loving me. Father God, these things are not easy for me to do. Father God, just please help me each day. Help me to turn my life. Help me to surrender my will, that I may follow you as my Lord and Saviour, my healer, my deliverer. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Father God, for giving your life for me, that I might have a new life through you. Oh, Holy Spirit, just come amongst us, Father God, and touch those right now that need touching, that need to know you, that need to be pruned, Father God, that they may have backslidden, Father God. Father, just touch them right now. Lord, as they've said that prayer to you within themselves, Father God, you know by the power of your Holy Spirit those that have spoken back to you this morning, Father God, that they may receive you, they may receive new life again, be rejuvenated in you, Father God. Lord, just pour your blessings upon this whole church, Father God, I pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for that amazing love, that amazing grace that we started the song with, Father God. I shared with Graham that I prayed this morning for some songs. And two of the songs in particular was Amazing Grace. And bless the Lord, oh my soul. And that all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Oh, Father, we just thank you for your love, your grace. Oh, we thank you, Father, for that amazing love that you have for us, that amazing grace for each one of us, Father God. Oh, Holy Spirit, just come amongst us right now. We praise you. We honor you. We worship you, Father God.